Our final honoree is our outstanding team for this season, and that is the 1997 state champion football team. Pius X welcomes one of the dominant teams of Coach Tim Elward's coaching career with the induction of the 1997 state championship football team. Following a heartbreaking defeat to Elkhorn that concluded the 1996 season, the Thunderbolts completed district and postseason play in 1997 by outscoring their opponents 231-14, including a 26-0 victory over Elkhorn in the state semifinals. Tim alluded to this, but that was one, if not the coldest game that we ever played. Now, a couple of dads for that game decided to get some sideline heaters, the things that they have now that would, you know, be able to shoot fire or whatever out the end. Well, the guys that were playing in the game, they really could care less. They were warm from playing. But everybody else that wasn't playing wanted to huddle around them. And I can remember one young man who stood so close for the whole game that he melted the bottom of his cleats during the game. That was how hot it was, and he had to find different cleats for the next weekend. Pius celebrated more All-State players, 8, than any team in Pius X history en route to an 11-1 championship season that defeat teams by an average of 37 points, including a 41-point victory in the state championship game over Lexington. Through my book and history of keeping up on records, some of the school records that this team set were the highest average points per game at 44 points a game, the fourth lowest points allowed per game at 7 points a game, rushing yards per game, 367 rushing yards a game, total yards per game, 453, largest average margin of victory, 37 points per game. Paul Castle had 1,900 yards rushing, second in school history for 1 year, 158 yards per game and 25 touchdowns. Dave Easley, 8th most passing yards in a season, 1,008 yards, and more TD passes in a season, 15, than any other person. And Corey Harrington, 2nd most receiving yards in a season, 797. He was 2nd by 1 yard. Leader was 798. 2nd most number of touchdowns in a season with 10, and 4th number of receptions in a season, 34. The 97 football team was a group of guys that were on a mission. Coach Elward would always tell me that in football, more than any other sport, your team will only be as strong as your senior class. We had a tremendous group of seniors that year. However, little did we know, we also had a tremendous group of juniors as well, and we had some outstanding sophomores. We were deep at skill positions with strong and fast players like Paul Castle, Kurt Slomke, David Easley, Troy Martin, and Corey Harrington. Not only did we have them, we had backups that were just as strong and just as fast. Now, skilled players are nice, but we all know that your team is only as good as your linemen are. Going into the season, I thought we could have an outstanding line that year, and I was not wrong. I knew that we had something special when, during the season opener against Hastings, I watched Justin Valencia run down the line to obliterate a Hastings defender. Then I realized that Justin was about 280 to 300 pounds, and he just smashed that guy. Not only did we have a potent offense, but we had a relentless defense. They were upset in giving first downs, not just points, but first downs. And many of our games were decided by halftime. In fact, I hold Mark Burt responsible for our one loss. Mark was a tremendous athlete that had a serious knee injury his junior year. Mark's senior year of athletics may have been one of the most courageous feat of athletics that I have ever seen. We were trying to keep Mark as healthy as possible. So when it came to our last regular season game, we held Mark out since our playoff position was solidified. Well, Columbus SCOTUS had a tremendous team effort, and they upset us that evening. That being said, little known fact was that the Pius football team never lost a game that Mark Burt had started from sophomore year on. His sophomore year, we were 13-0. His junior year, we were undefeated up till his injury, and his senior year, we lost the only game that he didn't start. So, I think Coach Carney is appealing the NSAA to see if there's maybe a little bit more eligibility we can have for Mark and bring him back just to be on the sidelines and play. We kid all the time that teams now wouldn't be able to survive the practices that we had with that 97 team, but that was true. We had outstanding practices. We had two outstanding groups of players that all felt that they should be playing. So our Tuesday and Wednesday practices were harder than any games that we had that season. Not only that, but these guys really enjoyed practicing, at least it seemed like it, and we enjoyed coaching them. It was the type of team that every coach should get a chance to coach, not because of the wins, but because of how much they all got along and how much they enjoyed playing in the games and being together. It was a team for the ages. It is my pleasure in presenting the outstanding team for the 2017 Pius Athletic Hall of Fame to the 1997 State Championship football team.
Thanks for the introduction, Coach Hanson. And again, thanks for everybody being here tonight. And congratulations again to all the other inductees and to the committee, and to this whole Hall of Fame deal that we developed here at Pius. It's really a great deal, and it's really neat to see everybody come back. We've used that adage tonight that this is like a family here at Pius, and it's one of the things that is really neat to see everybody come back and get together and enjoy this, and to celebrate everybody's success. So that is really great, so congratulations again to everybody else that got inducted tonight. Thinking back to high school and to that year when we won the state championship, there's a ton of memories too many to share, but we'll go through a few of them. You know, we right away knew that coming out of the year before, we got to the semifinals, we lost to Elkhorn in the semifinals of that game, and a lot of us juniors played on that team, and we feel like we could have won that game and could have been in the finals that year. And that was coming off a year before that when we were sophomores that we won the state championship, and the team went 13-0. There's a little bit of controversy as to why we're up here and they're not, but we told those guys that they should get a few of them to nominate them, and then they might be able to get up here too. So that's their fault, not ours. some of the best memories of that year, and typically of sports in general, and especially when you think of football, is just the camaraderie and the teammates and the friendships you develop, and how fun it really seems, or it is, to partake in that with your buddies. And while, you're out there, you're working hard, and you go to practice every day, and football's a tough sport, and with our coaches, with Coach Howard and with Coach Hanson and Coach DeVries was a coach that year, they instilled hard work has always been kind of at the top of the regime here at Pius for about any sport you play. And with Coach Elder's leadership, even though we did have a lot of talented guys and we thought we were pretty good, and obviously with one hiccup that we had that season, we learned that talent doesn't always come through in every game. The hard work definitely was one of the best things that was instilled in us that year. We're very grateful for that. Thinking about some of the funnier things or some of the things that that came up during the year, I was talking with Paul and Mike and Ben and Kevin over there, and then I see Chad Greenway and Taylor Ashburn are here, and I think a few others from the team, Matt Zabansky played a little bit as well, are here. One of the things, we did practice hard, and we had a running attack. Paul was a great running back. We had a great line. Corey and I always had this, Corey Harrington was our receiver, I was a quarterback, and we always had this idea that, we could, have this great passing attack at Pius. And so Corey and I didn't play any defense because we were way too valuable to risk us getting hurt on defense. So when first team defense was out there, we'd be throwing passes, and we started creating hand signals for the three pass plays we had. It was either a fade, a slant, or maybe it was one of two pass plays. so we had these signals, and that kind of developed into, eventually throughout the year, what the heck, Coach Al, like, what are you guys doing over here during defensive time? We got signals. We can read defenses, and we can pass. And so, I don't know, maybe the seventh or eighth game, he's like, all right, let's give it a try. You can call your own play. We call a 90 series pass. It was 90 series, isn't it? Yeah. And so Corey came in and he's like, he called a 90 series pass. And I'm like, so I get to select what to do here? And he's like, I guess. I'm like, well, let's do a fade. We're going to do that every time. And so didn't work out that well. Maybe the running attack definitely made the most sense with the team we had. And then kind of back to the Elkhorn game, you guys have heard about that. It was a freezing game. And for our year, Elkhorn is who we lost to in the semifinals the year before. And they had a lot of great players. They had two or three Division I athletes. A few of them played with Paul at Nebraska. And, we got a lot of, over the year, I don't know if it was during the season, it might have been during the season, or it was afterwards that people kind of started questioning about this, but we had these, so I would go up to the line, and I would start fake signaling. So, like, I'm reading a defense or something, and I'd, like, tap my face mask, or I'd tap my helmet, and I'd look out, and I'd give a hand signal. But one thing that we did near the end of the year, especially in the Elkhorn game, because they had a couple of really good linemen that would jump off the ball and they'd really anticipate. And so we said we'll do a lot of quick counts and then some long counts. And so I would put my hands behind my back and I'd signal. And people thought that we were signaling. I'd read the defense and we'd signal the line and I'd call out, I'm doing all this stuff. And literally all it was to remind everybody what the snap count was. So I put two fingers behind my back, and then a real novel thing to do was to remind people of the snap count before we actually would snap the ball. I would say the snap count in Spanish. So I'd go up to the line, I'd say dos, 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 and we, Ringenberg and those other guys that we hung out with in college a little bit, they'd be like, what were you doing there? And I was like, our guys were too dumb. We had to say the snap count in Spanish, but you guys were so dumb, you didn't even know what we were doing. And so yeah, it was either dos or uno, and that was literally the snap count. I didn't know how to read a defense because all we did was run the ball. So, those memories are some of the best, and when you think about it, again, it all comes back to the team. In football, we definitely had a lot of great athletes and a lot of good players, but with all the players that we had, we all got along great. The older classmen, the younger classmen, we were there for a purpose to try to do as well as we could, and again, a lot of that was instilled by Coach Howard, especially Coach Hansen, followed his lead, definitely kept it a little bit more relaxed than Coach Howard did. But, those are still some of the fondest memories that I have, and I'm assuming that a lot of our teammates had during that time. And, we'll cherish those forever. So I'll turn it over to Mark here to tell a few more.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you for the committee that elected our class and our team. It's a real honor. It's a very special honor to be elected the same year as George, who's like a second father, and especially Coach Elwood, who's like a third father. We're extremely honored, of course, and Adam, who Dave and I grew up watching. I'll never forget the state championship in 92. I remember exactly what you said on the interview, Jeff Schmall. asked you what was going on, and you shook your head and you looked at him, you said, "I'm dumbfounded." And I thought that was a great word. I think I was a fourth grader and I think I started using that word. But I also remember what happened after the alley-oop dunk, is that they came down and threw to Adam, and he hit an 18-foot fadeaway baseline jump shot to tie it up, and there they won. They ended up winning. So thank you. It's a real honor to be elected with all these people that we've spent so much time with and mean so much to us. Well, as Coach Elward alluded to, having good players makes good teams, it's not always about the X's and the O's, it's about the Jimmys and the Joes. So we had some Jimmys and Joes our year. Obviously, Paul was one of the great athletes in Pius history, and one of the great running backs in Nebraska history in my book. David was not too shabby as a quarterback, he was fantastic. We had a lot of All-Staters, Mike, Kevin, Ben, just a lot of great players, and we did kind of have a mission that year. We were hungry, and a lot of things came together for us to be wanting to really get it done. Dave and Hanson talked about the practices that year, and you know, most of the rest of us practiced pretty hard. What Dave and Corey did was more like recess. Towards the end of the year, you'd come into the locker room and people would have scratches on their helmets and dirt on their knees. And it was shocking how lily white Dave were, not a grass stain anywhere. Beautiful thing to see. But it sure worked out because those guys hooked up for a lot of touchdowns with just tremendous players. We had so many great memories from that year. You know, the influence of the coaches, so many funny stories, and most of them can't be told again. Jim, it was such a privilege to be able to play. My senior year, I played defensive end. I was slightly hobbled, and they thought at least you could stand up and keep somebody from running around the end. And so Jim was my position coach, and you know, from him telling people to knock others' heads off and other body parts off, you know, we just had such a great relationship with our coaches and had such a great year. I think the biggest thing, though, that we all got to experience was being coached by Coach Elward. You know, we've kind of alluded to it earlier, but Coach Elward is an incredibly unique individual and has meant so much to so many of us and has done so much for so many of us. I don't think any of us will forget some of the speeches he told, good and bad. Our sophomore year, the infamous Gutless Bastard speech still wakes me up some morning. Forget it. A couple quick things I'd like to say about Coach Elward, too, is two instances in my interaction with him that really speak to who he was and what he commanded from us. Number one was, as Jim alluded to, I had a knee injury my junior year, and it was during a Saturday practice, and I hurt my knee bad. I'm laying on the ground, and I'm spewing an expletive, you know, laden rant of, you know, pain, et cetera, et cetera. And Coach is right there with me, and after a couple of words, he grabbed me by the chest. He said, "Mark, watch your language." My leg was off at about a 45-degree angle, and I could hardly breathe, and I just said, "Sorry, Coach." And I was quiet all the way to the hospital after that. So that's the kind of command, or that's the kind of respect Coach commanded. The second instance is, it was the last practice of the year right before the state championship game, and I had a lot of gear I had to put on and take off, I was kind of a glass house and had lots of braces and stuff. And so I was the last one out of the locker room that day, and I was kind of being nostalgic and kind of taking my time. And I was walking out, and I walked by the office, and Coach was sitting there. And I can't remember a whole lot of the conversation, but I, something like, you know, Mark, we're ready tomorrow, you know? And I said, yeah, Coach, we're ready, we're gonna do it. And I said, well, it's been a lot of, you know, a lot of fun times on this field. And I said, yeah, Coach, I sure have. And it was kind of quiet there for a second. He said, Mark, keep fighting a good fight. And that's something that I've held on to, and I think of often, Coach. And I think of a person who epitomizes fighting a good fight, and that's Coach Hill. Nobody has exemplified leadership and strength and faith through ups and downs more than Coach Hill does. And it's always meant a lot to me, Coach. So I appreciate it. I would have quit crying now, but Dave said something. Thank you guys very much.